This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I'm going to give you a scenario. Let's say you were at the draft in Nashville, you watched it on TV, and you noticed that the 49ers picking second went with Nick Bosa. And then you disappeared, went into a Rip Van Winkle sleep, went off the grid, disappeared for a while, and you just came back. You just woke up. And you found out that the 49ers, who did not have Jimmy Garoppolo last year, and got the number two pick and got a very good defensive player, were heading to Miami for the Super Bowl. How surprised would you really be? In football in 2020, 2018, 19, this where we are now, with the quickness and the ability to shore up holes in your team, are the 49ers a surprising Super Bowl participant? Or could you have seen it if you had said, well, if they get healthy at quarterback and this Bosa kid should be pretty decent, I think they actually could. Think about their division. Think about where you would be in April, right? You'd be watching the draft knowing the Rams had just come off a Super Bowl loss, but expect to be really good. You know Russell Wilson is expected to be good again with the Seahawks. Tough division. Jimmy Garoppolo, you don't really have any real good body of work on whether or not he was capable of doing this. Maybe you had a little insight into the defense. Maybe the defense was a little better, and maybe they made some acquisitions. But this is a surprising team. But because we're kind of like frogs in the pot, where we're getting a slow boil rather than jumping in the hot water, we saw this build as the season progressed. So it doesn't become really shocking if you've been watching the season, go through its motions and watching the 49ers win games and how they were winning games and realizing, oh my God, they run the ball great. They have a really good defense. The quarterback is good. They got George Kittle. He's great. But again, if you had just woken up, this is a major surprising team. Like, the Patriots being in the Super Bowl wouldn't surprise you. The Chiefs being in the Super Bowl doesn't surprise you. But if you just woke up today after a 7-month nap and saw that the Niners were in it, that is surprising. Are they the most surprising team to ever be in the Super Bowl? I think we got that answer for you next. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
For joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. You can hit us up on Twitter with your thoughts on the Super Bowl, what the NBA is doing, anything like that, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. So Bill Barnwell at ESPN.com has a really fun article. Like, for guys like me, Super Bowl geeks like me, I like this kind of stuff. I just love the history of the Super Bowl. I just do. I just have always, it's my area that I consume. I love the little, the NFL films on each Super Bowl. I don't know. It's just something I get kind of geeked out over. So Barnwell asked that same question, right? Well, how surprising is this, given that they went 4-12 last year? They didn't have their quarterback, and now they're getting their quarterback back. And there were a lot of things to like about a last year's team that even went 4-12. But Super Bowl? Now, how surprising is this? So he rated the top 10 surprising Super Bowl appearances by teams that did not have a very good season the year before, and then something happened, and next thing you know, they were in the big game the following year. Which I always like, because, again, the way this league is, as we say over and over again, you just never know when your season is going to turn. You never know when something is going to work that will allow you to go from the basement all the way up to the top of the penthouse. It's not like other sports where you have to see a real methodical building process, or you really have to make sure the draft picks work out, and you might have to go through 4 or 5 years of real, just terrible play in order to see the fruits of what that will give you. In the NFL, You can turn things around quickly, and some of these teams have turned it around really quickly. So he puts teams in like the 2001 Patriots that had gone 5-11 the year before under Drew Bledsoe, and then made the playoffs once Tom Brady had taken over for Bledsoe in the season. You know, obviously the Tuck Rule game against Oakland, going to Pittsburgh and beating the Steelers, and then taking down the Rams. But they had gone 5-11 before, and they finished that year 11-5. So, and then he goes on, you know, there's like the 89 Broncos that are listed, the 98 Falcons. But he does point out that there were two teams in the history of the NFL, and I'm actually glad he did it, because that's, you know, it's a lot of research. There are two teams who went 4-12 and have made the postseason, and the 49ers are one of them. So naturally, the idea would be, are they the most surprising team to ever be in the Super Bowl, given what we knew of them last year? I think there are circumstances, as I mentioned before, that would make you go, yeah, I could see the 49ers getting a lot better if Jimmy Garoppolo is healthy. And, you know, this, you know, if Nick Bosa works out, this would actually be really nice for a defense that's already starting to pick up some pieces and trying to create themselves a dominant force. But you would still be cautious of putting them in a playoff scenario. Remember, the Rams came off a Super Bowl appearance last year. They didn't make the playoffs. Even when they got Jalen Ramsey, they didn't make the playoffs. That division was tough. And it became tougher because the 49ers were good. So you would probably be more cautious in your summer predictions, projecting a 49er playoff push or a possible Super Bowl, knowing the obstacles that they had in their own division, right? Would they win enough games to win a division that looks tough on paper already? And if they did win enough games to even be in the running, are those wins good enough to be a wild card team if they don't make it in terms of winning the division? It would be hard to peg them. The 81 San Francisco 49ers had gone 6-10 the following year, 13-3. That was Joe Montana's first Super Bowl, hitting Dwight Clark in the NFC Championship game. They beat the Cincinnati Bengals at the Pontiac Silverdome. The 49ers are on the list again with this year's squad at number two, according to Bill Barnwell, 4-12, 13-3. But the number one surprise team in the NFL, the number one team, surprising most everybody who had the prediction the year before, and went into and won the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl. Ron, would you like to take a guess as to which that team is? Most surprising team to ever make it to the Super Bowl?
I'll say 85 Patriots.
85 Patriots. That's actually a pretty good guess. That's a pretty good guess. But the number one team is the 1999 St. Louis Rams. They went 4-12. And remember what happened in that offseason, right? Remember what happened as they were heading into their season. They had lost to Trent Green. And they got 28-year-old former bag boy Kurt Warner to step in. He only had 11 career pass attempts. And he ended up delivering one of the greatest seasons in NFL history. It was the greatest show on turf for a reason. They put up nearly 33 points per game. They went to the Super Bowl. They did, as Barnwell points out, have the league's easiest schedule. But they did go to the Super Bowl, and they won it. They beat the Tennessee Titans. Barely, but they beat the Tennessee Titans. And Warner became an MVP. And Kurt Warner's career? Never the same after that, of course, when you win a Super Bowl. 41 touchdown passes in 1999 and led them to a victory. Yeah, it's really remarkable. And they had some sustained success for a couple of years, including going back to the Super Bowl where they ended up losing to the Patriots, even though they were heavy favorites. But the year before, yeah, they went 4-12, just like the Niners. They ended up going 13-3 because Kurt Warner stepped in and did the right thing. I love Super Bowl history. I love the storylines behind certain teams and how they got there, right? But nobody really saw the Rams in 1999 at the beginning of the season, even coming close to being a Super Bowl champion.
No, I remember when Kurt Warner burst onto the scene, that's when everyone else started looking at different places to find quarterbacks,
right,
football players. Like, oh, they can cover them anywhere.
There was another team that's not on his list, and I think because their defense was so good, that was the 2000 Baltimore Ravens. But the Ravens, you remember that year, they could not find the right quarterback. They could not find the offense was stagnant. They had gone a number of games without an offensive touchdown. Trent Dilfer finally took it over, and they finally made a run. They went on the road in Oakland to win the AFC Championship game. They're not on this list, and I don't know what their record was before, so I know that has a possibility. But I do remember this. Phil Mickelson made a lot of money that year because he bet on the Ravens at the time where their record wasn't that good to win the Super Bowl. I think he put some good coin down on the Ravens to win the Super Bowl, and they did. End up beating the New York Giants in one of the more forgettable Super Bowls of all time. But it was a fun list to look at because, again, if you like Super Bowl history, if you just like the path for teams, the 98 Atlanta Falcons were on it, a team that went 7-9, and then the following year went 14-2. The Dirty Bird Falcons, led by Dan Reeves, they were on the list. The Patriots, the 96 team was on the list. Now, the 96 team, I have a special relationship with because I covered the Patriots early in my career. And I was working in college. I was working as an intern when Drew Bledsoe was drafted and Bill Parcells was hired. And I remember they struggled, but I remember they won some games at the end of their season to make it feel like they were on the verge of doing something, that they were progressing. And then they made the playoffs the following year, lost to the Cleveland Browns. And then they made this run towards the postseason. They went 11-5 in 1996. And, you know, they beat the Steelers, who were in the Super Bowl the year before. And they beat them because Neil O'Donnell had left in free agency and Mike Tomczak was the quarterback. And I was at that game, and it was all a Patriot. It was pretty much a Patriot route. But they went on to lose to Brett Favre and the Green Bay Packers. Surprising team. Carolina in 2015 went 7-8-1. Yeah, 7-8-1.
Because remember that? they were flirting with the perfect season.
That's right, 15-1.
That was.
I thought they were going to beat Denver. And I knew Denver's defense was great. I just didn't know Denver's offense was, you know, because their offense wasn't very good. Peyton Manning was just barely, you know,
still trying to find his feet. Bronco feet.
Exactly. He had two postseason games against the Steelers and the New England Patriots that year, where the biggest takeaway was, well, there are two. Obviously, he won those games, but the biggest takeaway was he didn't turn the ball over. Statistically, nothing to write home about.
Yeah.
Really, nothing awesome, but he didn't turn the ball over, and they ended up winning those games at home. Faced a Carolina Panthers team, he did turn the ball over in that game, but their defense was so good, they didn't have to do much either. Their offense didn't have to do much as well. So that's, you know, but that 15-1 team, I picked Carolina to win that Super Bowl. Because I was like, man, I just don't see this offense. On the big stage, you know, against a team like that, you're going to need an offense. And I didn't think the Broncos had it, but they had it just enough because that defense shut down Cam Newton and the Panthers easily. But it's a fun list. If you go way back to the 81 Cincinnati Bengals, the 69 Minnesota Vikings, I mean, those are a little bit before my time, but it was nice to read up on them. But to think that he has the two teams in Super Bowl 16 on his list of most surprising teams. How interesting was that at the Pontiac Silverdome in 1982, right? Where the Bengals and the 49ers are in the game, and you're like, wow, who would have thought this?
No one thought that.
No, you know, who would have projected these two teams to be in here?
Because so 81, that's the year of the famous catch. The catch.
That was Dwight Clark's catch. Yep.
Where it was and the changing of the guard, if you will.
Two pretty historical championship games in that the Bengals beat the Chargers in the Freezer Bowl and the Dwight Clark catch in the NFC Championship game. Those are two pretty memorable title games. I mean, that Freezer Bowl is still talked about today, about how unbelievably cold it was.
That's just kind of fun looking at, the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, Anderson, who was the quarterback? It was
Kenny Anderson.
Kenny Anderson being guarded by or being blocked for with Anthony Munoz.
Yeah.
And thrown to a rookie wide receiver, Chris Collinsworth.
Chris Collinsworth. Exactly.
I wonder what Chris Collinsworth's up to these days.
Yep. Forrest Gregg was the head coach. I know Collinsworth's had a great career, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's done an unbelievable
I don't really remember much of his playing career.
Yeah, I was a kid.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
We know him. I, I'm all of us, I think we know more now as a commentator than a wide receiver.
Yeah, than a wide receiver. But so those back in 1982. So that was Forrest Gregg was the head coach, and Bill Walsh, of course, was the coach of the Niners back then. But Montana and Clark were like that was one of the most watched Super Bowls at the time. That was one of the highest, I think it was at the time, the highest rated Super Bowl. And some people believe it was because, and it's just really hypothetical, it's more of a theory than actual fact, but there is a theory that Dwight Clark and Joe Montana were such good-looking young guys that it attracted more female viewers than any Super Bowl in the history of the sport.
Yeah, it did.
So that's the theory as to why the ratings were so big for Super Bowl 16. I don't know, it may make sense. But that always stuck with me. Like, is that really the reason, or was it just because they were both two kind of neat teams that no one really thought were going to be good, and then they were good, and they were fun, and there you go. They ended up in the Super Bowl. All right, it's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Love the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour as well on a Football Friday on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I feel like we should have theme music for this next topic, because it's going to be a topic, Ron. We're going to be buzz. There's going to be buzz about this almost every day leading up into March.
Uh-oh.
We should have theme music for any nonsensical news, any article that is written by people who just want to write something down about the impending move of Tom Brady, even if there is no news. So Robert Kraft was appearing on a radio show and was asked about Tom Brady. Of course, because that's the topic du jour up in New England. Yeah, like this was good. So he was asked if they plan to sign Brady. And he said, quote, "We plan to." So the article that was written to talk about this particular moment in time in Patriots history was pointing out that, whoa, this is a big change from when he said, "We have hopes and prayers that we will." Maybe, just maybe, Robert Kraft was giving some insight into the fact that he has a leg up in the future negotiations of landing Tom Brady to stay in New England and not go anywhere. This is over speculation. This is just to get something down in the press. This is just to get something down to get clicks. This is what we're going to have for the next 3 months. We're going to have all of this kind of stuff where we're going to go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And did he do this? Did he say this? He winked when he talked about this. He looked down when he was talking about this. It's going to be a paralysis and analysis all the way through.
You know what's really bad about this? I was at the store yesterday checking out, and there was a magazine. I don't know which one. I don't know if it was like Us or Star, you know, one of those tabloid magazines.
Right.
And on the front, on the cover, was Tom and Giselle saying divorce looming or something like that.
Oh, nice. That's even better.
I'm like, okay, I mean, we've reached, now we're just like, you know what? We got to get the housewives involved.
Yeah,
because they're
right.
Not going to care where Tom Brady plays next year. They don't care.
No.
You know, but if we say, hey, we have a power couple that's about to divorce, oh, now we're all in. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, saying that this is going to be the bad part of the NFL offseason.
Yeah.
Like, please make a decision. End it now.
Yeah, just, you
stop
know.
Stop the bleeding.
Stop the bleeding. Now, listen, I get it. If you're in New England, you're probably wondering, look, where are we going with
him? This is all consuming.
Right? This is because he's your guy. He's your franchise guy. He's the guy that's changed the face of the organization forever.
I'm wondering, you know what? But we need to have someone in Boston to let us know. Did they even cover the Red Sox scandal in Boston?
Right? Way to go, Patriots. Way to rip that off the headline.
I mean, Alex Cora was fired, and they're probably like, oh, yeah, but what about Tom Brady?
What about Tom? Right? What about Tom? That's my question. But you're just, again, everybody is going to be thinking, okay, look, I'm taking any information on this, and I'm going to analyze it to death. All right? It was actually, I apologize, it was not a radio station, it was TMZ Sports. I think he made the comment. Well, he made a comment to something, and TMZ Sports was the one that broadcast it, that let it, leaked it, that he said this, that he planned to sign. But remember, he had said hope and prayer, number one, that he play, that he signs with the Patriots. Or number two, that he retires. So those were the beliefs not that long ago of Robert Kraft. Now Kraft is saying they plan to bring him back. So now the analysis is, what does he know that we don't know? Have they been talking? Have they been having conversations? Does he feel really good that it's going to happen? I don't know.
Why can't they all just take a page out of Belichick?
Yeah, just be like, I'm on to the combine.
Yeah, he's at the Senior Bowl.
Right? Just watching, being at the Senior Bowl.
Watching guys play, saying, you know, what he's maybe what he's doing, obviously he's not talking to the media, but maybe he's scouting quarterbacks.
See, given the success that Bill Belichick has had in the draft, trading the right pick at the right time, he probably has one of those, like, Jafar staffs, and like in Aladdin, where he just walks up to the Cincinnati Bengals and he goes, you do not want Joe Burrow. And they're like, we do not want Joe Burrow. You will trade that pick to us for nothing. We will trade the pick for you for nothing. Thank you very much.
They'll trade it
for Tom Brady? Yeah, that's right.
You see Brady in a Bengals uniform for the number one overall pick?
You'll take this annoying old quarterback off my hands and instead give me a young, great, potentially quarterback that can lead us to even more Super Bowls.
I think what Belichick is doing down there, he's looking around going, okay, who's my fifth-round guy or sixth-round guy?
Who's the guy nobody's talking about that I like?
That'll drop like a stone, and I will grab him up and make him better than Tom Brady.
That's fitting. You know what's funny? I was watching the Aaron Hernandez documentary on Netflix. Have you seen that? It's like three parts.
No, I need to see it.
It's pretty good.
Everyone's talking about it. It's kind of depressing.
It is depressing. It's uncomfortable. All of those things you just said. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes me want to watch it. Honestly.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know why. Is that weird?
But you know what was? Here was the thing, right? They drafted him late because of all of the red flags that they had, that Aaron Hernandez had when he was down in Florida. So all of the red flags, they draft him. He is an actually important member of their Super Bowl, you know, appearances, getting to the Super Bowl, and actually continuing along. But as soon as he was arrested, that was they don't dwell on those things like other teams. You know what I mean? Like, well, yeah, if you got red flags, you come here. All of those problems will only last as far as we'll allow it. But the moment we're out. That's enough. And he just said, and that's basically how the documentary portrays it. He was on the team. He was successful, signed a big contract. The moment he was involved in this, the Patriots did their investigation. He gets arrested. They cut him and they never look back. They don't even worry about it. Gronkowski becomes the guy, and they continue to win. And Hernandez is off defending himself against these crimes. So you can see where Belichick kind of does that, where he looks and says, I can find the guy, and if there are other people that are uncomfortable, I will find out what they're uncomfortable about, and I'll evaluate my own system and my own organization as how we could handle that and whether or not that person will be important to us. And the moment he's not important to us anymore, or when the risk outweighs the benefit, we'll just release him, and that's it. The train will keep moving along. We will not be derailed by somebody's action. Right? Like, it does not matter. We use you until we don't need you anymore. Or you become so much of a problem, we will absolutely move on to somebody else. And no, there are other teams that put all of their bread and butter onto one player, that when that player lets you down socially, like in whether getting involved in a crime or getting involved in a problem where you have to deal with it, they lose it, and it's a distraction and it's a problem, and the Patriots don't. So you're right. He's probably at the Senior Bowl scouting everybody, but also looking for the diamond in the rough, even if it comes with a little baggage that's scaring off every team. Because he knows my team, but I wonder what Belichick thinks about all this, too. Like, when he sits back talking to a very close friend or his wife about Brady, does he go, God, make up your mind. I got to figure this out now.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it is the good, the bad, and the dumb for a Friday as we get to the end of the week. You know, I already feel good because we're at the end of the week, but I want to feel better. So what's the good of the day?
The good of the day, and with a little bit of dumb.
Okay? A little bit of dumb, okay.
It's the 72 Club section at Hard Rock Stadium. Hosted this year's Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl, yeah.
Have you heard about the 72 Club?
It has got like couch seating or something.
Yeah,
it's got it's got TVs and
you know what
unlimited food.
Movie theaters are coming out with these type seats where you know they're leather, gigantic leather recliners, basically.
Right. Okay.
And so that's what this section has gigantic. What is that? Teal. It's the Dolphins' color, right?
Yeah,
teal.
Yeah. The teal. Yeah.
Gigantic teal recliners, but there's a TV in front of them. So you're watching the game live. I'm seeing a picture of it here, and it's like you're kind of positioned on the 30-yard line, 35-yard line.
Yeah.
Right? But you have a TV in front of you. Not a huge TV, but nonetheless, a TV so you can watch the game as you're watching the game. But but what makes it cool is that the it's all-inclusive food and beverages included.
That's awesome.
Including alcohol. You have a waiter service, VIP Express, premium parking, has 11 more inches of leg room and 8 inches wider seat. But where the dumb part of it comes into is what the prices are going for at the Super Bowl.
For that particular
section.
All right, so the comfy seat, the TV, the unlimited food and alcohol, parking.
Wait staff to come and bring the food to you. And then
anything you
want. And then you have like your whole little lounge area that looks like a bar. So you can go and
so it's almost like you can go inside to this bar area thing and then outside to the seats to watch the game.
Right.
Almost like patio viewing, if you will.
Yeah.
All right, so how much?
Well, somebody already shelled out $60,000 for two seats.
Wow. 30 grand pop?
As reported by Darren Rovell, which I take as gospel.
It might as well. 30 grand a person?
Yeah, they're saying that as we get closer to the Super Bowl, a seat of four will probably cost you upwards around 200 grand.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
But this is probably where all the celebrities will be.
But that's what I was going to say. It really isn't. The more I think about it, it really isn't, because when you have this level of luxury for that event and you have people where money really isn't an object, they'll just go, well, what does that cost? They go, 60. Well, fine, 60 grand, of course. Yeah. But I want to make sure I have a certain wine, or I want to make sure I have but it's 60 grand. Here, take it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's got to be weird for the NFL. Not weird. Weird's a bad word. And for this situation, it must be nice, better, awesome for the NFL to be able to create something that is so popular that pretty much any price for these things is just whatever it is.
Oh no!
Honestly, just go out to the highest bidder among the very wealthy.
Honestly, when I first saw this story, I immediately made it my dumb. I was like, who in the right mind would shell out $60,000 for two seats? I mean, that's or 200 grand for four. And then I started reading more about the seats. I'm like, God, this would be such an amazing experience.
Yeah.
To sit back. Yeah. I mean, these are literally teal recliners, like the ones you see in movie theaters now where, you know, you pick your seat ahead of time. The seats now, I'm not sure. Every theater I've gone to now has kind of transitioned to these big, oversized leather recliners that, you just push a button, feet raised, back goes back a little bit, so you're kind of – you're lounging, watching a movie. And that's what these seats look like. It's just, you just put your feet up and just lounge.
Well, let's say you're worth $100 million. Like, you're a hedge fund manager, and you're like, do I just buy a ticket? Or, like, 60 grand is nothing.
Well,
and why don't I just do this?
It's
where
already,
I get all the food and drink I want.
Yeah, it's already being reported that, 200 grand for four seats. I mean, it's all Hollywood stars, singers, athletes. I mean, they're all just buying them up. This is where the camera is going to be fixated most of the time when they say, hey. And then you think about it, it's like, wow, what a great party that would be.
So if you're Leonardo DiCaprio and you want to go to the Super Bowl and you call up and you go, I'd like seats in that. And they say, we have four. And he goes, that's not enough. I have 10 women that I'm taking with me. You don't have enough tickets. You don't understand. I had a yacht with 30 models on it when I went to the World Cup a few years ago in Brazil. I need more seats. Tell me who has those seats and I'll buy it off them. Because I just can't leave four women at home. I got to take my entourage.
I recommend doing, so you can kind of get a good look at it, is go to the Dolphins website or just actually Google 72 Club.
Right.
I think it was the first thing that popped up. They have a bunch of pictures that you can see what the inside of this would look like.
So were the Dolphins paying people $60,000 a game to watch the Dolphins play from that
this past year? Probably.
Right.
Probably.
Hey, like that would be the selling point, right? It's like, hi, yeah, welcome to the 72 Club. This Miami Dolphin season is going to be exciting. You know, we've got some building to do, but nevertheless, check this out. You're going to get all the food and drink that you want. We're going to have waiter service on hand to make sure you're comfortable. The seats recline. You're going to live in the comfort of life. This patio view, there's room view. You're going to be able to walk around and stretch your legs. But more importantly,
the lounge area alone is worth the price of entertainment. I mean, it's worth the ticket. You just look at this like, God, this just looks like a bar. And you know there's not going to be a whole lot of people. It's not going to be overly crowded.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this alone, I'm just looking at that. Like, God, this everything about this, I mean, I wish I had money.
But the biggest aspect of having that area during a Dolphins game was having a TV to watch something else.
Probably. I mean, yeah, can you change the channel?
I would
maybe,
hope you
maybe
can.
Maybe throw on a little Seinfeld or something.
I hope you can.
When the game gets out of hand.
Hope it's not one of those closed circuit TVs that only gets the feed of the game from the broadcast partners.
Well, here's a bigger question. Were those was that game blacked out in your area?
Right, that's very true. That's very true. It's like, I'd love to watch the Dolphins on this TV, but we didn't quite sell out in this game against the Jets. So I apologize. All right, so then what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, the global scientists got together and adjusted the doomsday clock.
Of course they did, because they've been doing that for 30 years.
Yep, since 2018, we've been 2 minutes to midnight. Now they've adjusted it. We're 20 seconds closer now. We're 100 seconds away from a global catastrophe.
Of course.
And that'll send people running for the hills. We need to build bunkers.
Now, is this, because when I was a kid, it was nuclear war.
It's still nuclear war.
Is it nuclear war or climate change?
I think we were doing it off air, talking about Red Dawn.
Yeah, Red Dawn.
Yeah, we were doing that off the air. This is, you know, I mean, basically, we all need to watch that movie and take notes. It's no longer fiction.
Wolverines! That was Patrick Swayze, Charlie Sheen, Leah Thompson. Who else was in that movie? C. Thomas Howell?
I think so.
Yep, exactly.
Leah Thompson. I was like, wow.
I remember how it was so weird to and I didn't know the background, but it was like they lived in Colorado and somehow Cuban and Russian military got to Colorado without nobody noticing anything. Just landed in the backyard of a high school and started shooting up the place. Well, like, wait a minute.
That's what happened.
Don't you have air defenses like in New Mexico or anything? Like, you know, stave that off way before it gets to the middle of the Midwest?
Yes, you got Jennifer Grey.
Jennifer Grey, that's right. Yep.
Harry Dean Stanton.
Harry Dean Stanton, I think, was the dad. I think he played a dad in that
movie. Powers Booth.
Oh, Powers Booth. Oh, I remember Powers Booth. He played kind of I think he played the...
Or Lane Smith. Wasn't Lane Smith a congressman at some point?
I don't know. That's a good question.
He was the coach of Mighty Ducks, right?
They redid it, but it's not as good. It doesn't have that same Cold War impact.
You can't redo that. No.
Like, that was a big deal. Like, when you were, you know, you grew up in the 80s, man. It was like we were on the brink of nuclear war every single day.
Any minute. We knew we were done for.
You ever watched The Day After, 1983, where they actually showed what would happen?
Movie.
All the time. Because it was like...
Every single time you bring that up, I got to watch the preview. And I'm like, God, I need to see
this
movie.
You didn't see that?
No, I didn't see that movie.
Oh, God, that was the most terrifying thing on television. Ever on television. That was a movie that showed you exactly what would happen in a nuclear war.
If a missile landed, what would happen? Buildings would be just obliterated. People would vaporize. Everything was radiated. You couldn't eat any of the food. You'd be shooting people for an apple. I mean, it showed everything. Steve Guttenberg was in it. Jason Robards was in it. I mean, it was. And you watch that and you're like, I ain't going down this way. No way. It's scary. But it also helped open Reagan's eyes to what people were really feeling, because he called the Soviet Union the evil empire. And after a few years in office, he started realizing they were as scared of that as we were. And that's when he started opening up communication. So there you go. Little history for you from the 80s go. Cold War saga. So what is the dumb of the day?
Come here for sports, we give you history.
That's right.
The dumb of the day is there's a KFC commercial that has been airing in Australia that's been banned.
Banned in Australia?
Banned, or, you know, looked down upon. I don't know if it's completely off there. You can still see it on YouTube.
Big fans of the famous bowl?
No, basically what it is, a group called Collective Shout, which is an Australian grassroots campaign movement against the objectification of women and the sexualization of girls. Right?
Right.
Basically what this is there's a teenage girl checking herself out in a car window. Can you guess what happened next? The window rolls down and there's teenage boys checking her out.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
And they're banning that commercial because I guess teen boys like teen girls.
Oh yeah.
Teen girls.
And I can't do
and,
that.
And we can't have that. We can't we can't have that in society anymore.
Not at all.
That teen boys only have one thought on their mind. They're not allowed to have that thought anymore. That's basically what they're saying.
Wow.
That's can't have that anymore.
That's terrible. That is absolutely terrible.
I mean, you know, there's certain things that can change. You know, as time goes on, I think, you know, I look at my son. He's definitely going to have a leg up on me when it comes to social media and things like that, you know. But one constant will always remain, that teen boys are horn dogs.
Sure, they are, of course.
And that'll never change.
That's right.
And it's sometimes you can't go around just banning everything just because that's life.
Yeah, that's true. That's right.
Really, I don't know why it just bothered me this morning. I was like, God, another one?
Like now, is this ad running the United States or is it just running
in
Australia?
No, it's just running in Australia to promote their Zinger popcorn box.
Oh, nice.
Or something like that. Because, you know, the boys are sitting there just having, you know, popcorn chicken. And this lady, this girl comes up and she's adjusting her top in the window.
Oh.
Because it's, you know, it's heavily tinted. So she can't see that there's guys inside. And then the window rolls down and she's like, oh, sorry. You know, that whole meek, shy thing. And the boys are obviously just staring.
But still eating the popcorn chicken.
Still eating the popcorn chicken.
See, now I want popcorn chicken.
So good that you have to have the popcorn chicken.
That's right.
But gets banned. But you can still see it. You can still find it on YouTube.
All right. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to check it out. What's all the hubbub around? Well, obviously, we just talked about this. In Australia, it's 5 days from now. So
exactly.
There's enough room. There's enough wiggle room here to figure out when we can.
This actual commercial has not yet been banned in Australia, as far as we know.
That's right.
It'll probably be banned next week.
Yes, exactly.
Or this will be a Super Bowl ad for us. I'm not sure. I don't know how it works.
How it works, right? All right, that's a good, the bad, and the dumb on a Friday on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. And this hour of SB Nation Radio is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Are you interested in the any skills competition this weekend, Ron?
You know what? I do enjoy watching that.
That is fun.
I think that's the highlight of the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, that's fun. I like that. I'm always in, like, even the NHL, which I'm not a huge fan of the NHL. Yeah. I like their skills competition too. Like hit the pies, you know, kind of thing. And I was always from a very young age, I was always into the 3-point shooting contest, the slam dunk contest in the NBA. I was always into that. Now, even when they did the dribble around the obstacle course thing that Steve Nash used to beat out,
because really,
I love that.
That's the only competitive part to any All-Star weekend.
Right. Because you, as a player, you don't care if you win or lose the Pro Bowl, but you kind of want some bragging rights if you on other quarterbacks or other players.
Now,
yeah.
The last couple of years, the only thing that's bothered me about the skills challenge has been the dodgeball game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because it always seems really one-sided.
That's right.
But you know, when those guys do the obstacle course, it's so much fun to watch.
Now,
or the quarterback passing.
Way back in the day, they used to have Howard Cosell used to do, like, remember Battle of the Network Stars? Remember that show? And they would have, like, Scott Baio would be running against LeVar Burton or something like that. But they used to do this with the Super Bowl teams. They would take them and they would do these tug of wars and obstacle courses and things like that. And so I always thought it would be kind of cool not to do that per se with the Super Bowl teams, because after the Super Bowl, you just want to get away and do nothing. But I always thought it would be kind of neat to do other sports with these guys. Like, it would be kind of, be kind of interesting if they did.
Well, they've always had the skills challenge, because I remember, or they've always done something similar, because I remember Dennis Green was like the fastest human in the NFL.
Right.
For like 20 years.
Right.
Like, no one could ever beat him in a foot race.
Yeah, see, the little things like that. Like, get four NFL players.
Daryl Green.
Four NFL players that, like, you get it, like, in a 4x400 relay or something. Yeah. Like, that'd be great.
That'd be fun.
I'm sure the agents would be like, no, no, and no. But, you know, it's, you know.
they're not even looking at the player. They're just seeing hamstrings.
Right. They're just seeing, look, guys, I know this sounds fun, but, yeah. All, like, there was a Patriot player. Remember him? He was out for a long time because he was playing football on the beach during Pro Bowl week. All right, it's SB Nation Radio. It's SB Nation AM.